souls as far as they could bear it. Let thine everlasting light shine upon us sinners, through the prayers of the Theotokos, O giver of light. Glory to thee.
Hello! Welcome back to our live stream Bible study, live from downtown Tarpon Springs, Florida, in Father Tryphon Hall. I'm Father Athanasios Heros. I am the Dean here at St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral, and I'm your host for Be Transfigured Ministries. We are so excited to be back in person tonight. It's been a long, long pandemic. We're not over it yet. As you see, I'm wearing a mask. Everyone in the room tonight has masks on. We are following social distancing rules. And so we have room for a few more next week. If you want to come in person, feel free to come in person. You have to wear your mask. We will take your temperature, and we have to write down your information, and you have to stay in an assigned socially distanced seat. So welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so wonderful to be back in person. It's a little weird for me tonight, so please bear with me because the room is so spread out because of the social distancing rules. But we're going to make the best of it. So how is this going to work? If you're new to our Bible study, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're an old-time fan, welcome back. This is session number one of a brand new series. So this is the third book of the Bible in our Bible study series. We had 55 sessions on the book of Acts. We had 33 sessions on the book of Romans. And now we're going to have 45 sessions on the book of 1 Corinthians. So our Bible study here is inspired by the homilies of St. John Chrysostom. And so we will do that little by little each week. We'll have a little chapter or verse. We'll have a little of St. John Chrysostom, and we will be inspired. I just want to prepare everybody. This is going to be a two-year project. By the time we have an occasional day off or we have the holidays, to get all 44 sessions in, it's going to take us about 2 years to go through all of our sessions and all of our homilies. If you cannot make it in person every single week, that's not a problem. You can always watch live online as you are doing from home right now. If you miss it, you can always watch after the fact. And there's always an archive of our Bible study at my website, Be Transfigured Ministries. And the website there is liveanewlifeinchrist.org. On that website, you press the button for Bible study on 1 Corinthians, and what you're going to see there is listing by date, a study guide for each session, and you will see a link to the video for that particular week. So if you have not yet downloaded your study guide, you can do so now by going to my website, click the button, liveanewlifeinchrist.org, Bible study on 1 Corinthians, and you'll see the study guide link for tonight. In each link each week will be also a link to a free translation from the homilies of St. John Chrysostom. Now that translation is in my book right here, but they don't sell these books anymore. But the translation itself is what's called public domain. So if you come in person, I will print it out for you every single week. And so you can make your own little book out of the homilies of St. John Chrysostom. It's absolutely a wonderful resource that you can have to any family library. So let me share with you the plan moving forward. So tonight's plan is session number one. And there's two parts of tonight's Bible study. The first portion, we're going to do some general, how do we as Orthodox Christians study the Bible stuff. Then we'll look at 1 Corinthians, why we're studying 1 Corinthians, why the homilies of St. John Chrysostom, why I think we can benefit from it. And then next week, we're going to dive right in with homily number one. And so tonight, it's called The Argument. This is where St. John Chrysostom lays out why he's preaching what he's preaching. So we'll get into that in a little bit. If you're watching online, we also have an online chat room moderated by the most talented, the most gifted, the most compassionate, and might I say a fantastic chef, my wife, Presbytera Vasi. She moderates, so she's at home. She's moderating the chat room. And they're already started. And I can look here. We have Angeliki from Canada. We have Alexandra from Denver, Colorado. We have Olga from New York City. We have Georgia from Denver, Colorado. So we already have people from across the United States tuning in live. And I know that some of our own people are at home live watching. So shout out to the Bills and to Mike and to Chris. Chris always watches us online, but he never really admits to it. So I know everyone's watching online tonight. So it should be a wonderful, wonderful time. For those of you watching online in the chat room, if one of the questions comes up, Presbytera can get my attention and we'll be able to work your question into the conversation. Oh, we also have somebody from Washington State. Please be safe. There's a lot of protests going on in Washington State, so please be safe. All right. Georgia, you're absolutely correct. One of the people online is an old-time friend of mine from Colorado, and she says, Father, you forgot to say the cutest moderator. So my wife is also the cutest moderator, and all those wonderful, wonderful things. As long as she lets me in the house tonight, I'll be okay, right? Okay. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and open up with our prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shine within our hearts, loving Master, the pure light of your divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our minds that we may comprehend the message of your gospel. Instill in us also reverence for your blessed commandments, so that having conquered sinful desires, we may pursue a spiritual life, thinking and doing all those things that are pleasing to you. For you, Christ, our God, are the light of our souls and bodies, and you we give glory, together with your Father, who is without beginning, and your all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. All right. So, let's get started. The first part of what we're going to talk about tonight is how to study the Holy Scriptures. So if you've been in my Bible studies before, this is always how I begin the series. It's a refresher on how to study, but it also sets up the framework of how we're going to look at it every time we get together. So the first thing to do is purchase a quality Bible. Now, I personally recommend the Orthodox Study Bible. Although a variety of translations are available, last time I saw there was over 100 translations of English of the Bible. And because of that, you also have to be aware and be cautious of a translation you might be using. And the study guide has some examples, because everyone who publishes a Bible always has a bias. It's a natural part of human life. It cannot be avoided. No translation is perfect. Okay? Even St. John Chrysostom talks about in a homily about the Old Testament, in another place, he talks about why it's so difficult to understand the Old Testament. Now, St. John Chrysostom was preaching in the 4th century, and he says, it's difficult for us to understand the Old Testament because we're reading it in a translation, and they were reading it in Greek instead of Hebrew. We're now reading it in English from Greek, from Hebrew. So we have to first and foremost understand that no translation is perfect. Okay? That being said, we also have to look at whose translation we are using. Because when someone publishes a Bible, by nature, they work their bias into the Scriptures. And so I like to have a couple of litmus tests every now and then, and I have one of them in the study guide for tonight. So, for example, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, in the original Greek, it says, Ara un adelfi, stikete ke kratite tas paradosis. the New King James, which is the translation of that we're using in this Orthodox Study Bible, says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions." The NIV, the New International Version, says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the teachings." The BBE, I don't remember what that stands for, says, "So then, brothers, be strong in purpose and keep the teaching." The NLT says, the New Living Tradition says, "With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on everything we taught you." The GNB says, "So then, our friends, stand firm and hold on to those truths." And the AB says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions and instructions." Now, those are all a different way to translate the original Greek. The point I want to make in this example is the word in Greek, paradosis. There is only one true, accurate translation of that word, and that is traditions. There's no other option than traditions there. So some translators, because they don't like tradition, actually change the word. And this one says teachings, this one says truths. Others' translations say ordinances. So you have to look at who's publishing your Bible and know that whoever's publishing it is going to work into their translation their bias. And so St. Paul, we know, St. Paul sometimes likes tradition and sometimes doesn't like tradition. And so a church that does not like tradition, when St. Paul says something bad about tradition, they use the word tradition. But in this case of 2 Thessalonians, when St. Paul says something good about tradition, they're obligated because of their own bias to use a different word, because they don't want to hear that St. Paul says, maintain the traditions. Hold on, keep the traditions. And so, although there's plenty of translations out there, you're going to see that everything is a little different. Okay? Part of that is because no translation is perfect, and part of it is because of bias, because they're working something in to reaffirm one of their own beliefs, what have you. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah? So please be careful. So if you don't want to buy a Bible, you can get a free one at BibleGateway.com or eBible.com. And I have eBible on my phone, so I can always pull up a scripture reading. And they have a lot of these online applications. You can choose what translation you want to look at and what have you. So I have eBible.com on my phone, and I can go to the Bible whenever I want. And it works, because you can't always carry the book around you. You know what I mean? You can buy the study Bible at St. Nicholas Bookstore. You can also get it on Kindle. So if you like ebooks, the entire Orthodox Study Bible is available on ebooks. So if you have a notepad or whatever and you don't want to carry around the big old heavy book, I think it's $20. I got mine for my Galaxy notepad. I paid $19 for it. And it's the full Orthodox Study Bible that you have here. Okay? So there's a variety of things you can do there. The next part is my advice is to purchase, if you're serious about Bible study, to purchase a bilingual Bible. This one happens to have the original Greek on one side and the RSV translation on the other side, the Revised Standard Version. So you can go back, and if you're reading something, you'll say, what was the original Greek word there or something? And you'll be able to, so if you're serious about studying the Bible, my advice is to get a bilingual Bible so you can go back and forth between English and Greek. But you can also get, and I didn't bring mine with me tonight, forgive me, I also have a Bible that is both Greek languages, the original Greek and modern Greek. And that's also helpful if you're serious about studying the scriptures, especially because of translations. Here's my logic. The Greek scholars who translated the Bible into modern Greek, there's no one who knows Greek better than Greek scholars. And so if they've translated something in the original a particular way into the modern Greek, you can trust that they're probably pretty accurate to keeping the intent of the original Greek. And I'll give you an example. We know the story after the resurrection when Christ is talking to St. Peter. And Christ says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Three times they have this conversation. The third time, it says that Peter was sad that Christ asked the third time, Peter, do you love me? In the original Greek, St. John the theologian uses two words for love there. He says, philesme, do you love me? No, I'm sorry. He says, agapasme, do you love me? Ne, philesse, I love you. Two different words. The second time, same thing. The third time, Christ says, philesme, ne, philesse, I love you. On the surface, it looks like there's two kinds of loves being talked about. And many of you have heard preachers make this distinction in the Bible. Christ says, do you love me with godly love, agape? Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you with friendship love. But that's not what's happening here. St. John the theologian, who wrote the Gospel of John, which is where that passage is, used the two Greek words for love completely interchangeably. He did not distinguish between the different kinds of love in his writing. So it isn't that Peter is sad that Christ is condescending to him, but Peter remembers his three-time denial. And so what Christ does is, since Peter denied him three times, Christ gives him the opportunity to confess his love for him three times. And in fact, in modern Greek, it's the same Greek word used for love the entire time. Agapasme, nes agapo. Agapasme, nes agapo. Agapasme, nes agapo. So in the modern Greek, the scholars are telling us there's no distinction in the type of love. Because in ancient Greek, we all know there's words for everything. And in ancient Greek, there's a variety of different kinds of love. Friendship love, eros love. And some authors use them one way, other authors use them a different way. And so you can't just look at the word, you have to know, how did St. John the theologian use that Greek word? So when we get to the translations of the scriptures, every now and then, I'm going to point out a nuance in the original Greek, and sometimes we'll talk about the variety of options with the translation. Does that make sense? I won't do it all the time, but occasionally I'll make a difference to it. All right. So the next thing is number three here on page one of the study guide. Read on a regular basis. So there's three ways really to read the scriptures. The first way is you read with context versus content. Here's what I mean. When you want to get the context of the story, don't dwell on the minutiae of the language. You read to get the story. You get the context of what's happening. But sometimes you want to get the content. What is being said particularly in this particular verse? That's two different kinds of reading of Scripture. My advice and what we will be doing is both. What I would like you to do, based on your time availability, I want you every week to read the entire book of 1 Corinthians without taking notes, without writing anything down. Read for context. I want you to sit down as if you're just reading a book, and every single week I invite you to read the entire 1 Corinthians. It won't take you as long as you think. By the end of this project, you will have read it so many times, it becomes part of you. Because when you stop at a verse, you have to know that St. Paul knows the entirety of his letter, and he's going to be referencing something he either already said, or he knows what he's going to say. And so we have to get that breadth of we have to get that vantage point, we have to step back. And so I invite you to read 1 Corinthians as a book every single week, but don't stop and take notes. Just read it to absorb it. Then, for the reading for the week, I want you to read it and stop and think about it and take notes about it, whatever. And that's how you're going to get the most benefit from Bible study. What I have is I have two different Bibles. Bibles that I write in and Bibles that I don't write in. Bibles I use for context, I do not write any notes in. I don't highlight it. It's just the text. There's another Bibles that I use when I'm really studying something. I may have written something. I have maybe put a check mark. I've maybe circled something. But I keep the two. So when I'm just reading for context, I'm not distracted by all the other notes and scribbles in my Bible. Again, it's how I do it, but it definitely is something I think that will help you. That's point number four. Okay? Now, how are we going to proceed specifically with this Bible study? All right, so St. John Chrysostom, we're not sure exactly when he did these Bible studies. First of all, we call them homilies, but most likely 1 Corinthians were not sermons in church. Now, when we did Romans, they were absolutely sermons in church. We believe that these are probably Bible studies that St. John Chrysostom did, because he's much more chapter verse oriented here, and it does not follow the lectionary of the church. If you look at the homilies on Romans and the homilies on Acts, it follows the lectionary of the church. So that tells us those were homilies, those were sermons in church for the daily services. This does not match the readings of the day for 1 Corinthians. So this is just a good old-fashioned Bible study that St. John Chrysostom did when he was a priest in Antioch somewhere between 386 and 397. So what we're going to do every week, we're going to have a few verses from the scriptures paralleled with the homily, we'll call it a homily, from St. John Chrysostom. What you're going to see in your study guide is, because there's no book to read for the homilies, I can't give you page numbers and what have you, but I'm going to give you section numbers, because even the online version that I put on the website has section 1, section 2, section 3. And if you print it like you did, Ioana, you'll still see those section numbers. But the page numbers will be based on what size font you printed it or whatever. So in the study guide, when I have a quote from St. John Chrysostom, instead of telling you what chapter or verse he was speaking on, I'm going to tell you where it is in the homily by section. Okay, so you'll see that in the study guide, section 1, section 2, and what have you. Does that make sense for everybody? Okay. So, tonight's topic is called the argument. We'll get to that in a moment. And that's where St. John Chrysostom lays out why he's studying 1 Corinthians. Before we get there, let's talk about Corinth for a little bit. You see here in the study guide, what was first century Corinth like? Let's go back one step further. I'm sorry. So St. Paul wrote this letter probably somewhere around 55 AD. I wrote here CE for the study guide because that's according to standards now these days. But it's important to see this. So this was about 20 years after the resurrection. While he was in Ephesus, he wrote this letter to the Corinthians, okay? However, this particular letter, we believe he wrote for more than just the Corinthian audience. And Chrysostom will talk about that every now and then. You'll see that in the argument specifically, that he talks about this more than just for the Corinthians. First century Corinth, a very cosmopolitan, multi-ethnic, and fractured community. A lot of factions, not a very unified city, let alone the Christian community. And as the city was fractured, so was the church community. A lot of factions going on, and this is going to make its way into the writings from St. Paul and also St. John Chrysostom. It was the capital city of the Achaia region, and you'll see here the footnote. Dr. Raymond Brown refers to this as a very Roman city. I just wrote here in the footnote, an ancient and successful missionary tactic was to first establish a church in a city with regional importance. The gospel would then be spread organically to surrounding regions. So what St. Paul did was he'd go to the cities. He didn't go to the villages, right? And so Corinth, because it was a capital city, they had the port, they had people coming and going from all over the world. It was an ideal place to spread the gospel because it would be able to go from there to other places. All right, very American in that sense, right? America is a very cosmopolitan and very multi-ethnic and, quite frankly, fractured community. Number three. The church was comprised of Jewish and non-Jewish members, mostly lower to middle class. So these were not a whole bunch of wealthy people, right? So it's important to know who our audience is. I've said this before, though, that the scriptures are not written to non-believers. The audience is the church in Corinth. Not total strangers in Corinth. Always important to remind ourselves of that. When we're walking the streets talking to people, it doesn't do us any good to start quoting the Bible to a non-believer. The Bible is written for believers to help us live our life appropriately, to answer questions, to call us to a higher standard. It is not written to convert total strangers. It might be helpful. They might be inspired. They might truly convert after reading the scriptures. But it doesn't do us any good to try and correct non-believers' behavior using the Bible. Because the Bible is written for the believer. And in this case, the believer living in first century Corinth. And that's why it's important to know our audience. Point number four. It had a reputation for sexual license. It was a promiscuous city. Now, Dr. Brown thinks maybe it was because of the in and out travel in terms of the port, in terms of the cosmopolitan, in terms of all the visitors to the city. You know, people tend to be less responsible, so to speak, when they're traveling, maybe. So, but keep in mind, when we get to Corinthians, we're going to see a whole bunch of corrective talk from St. Paul about bad morality. And a lot of it's going to be sexual in nature. Now we know why. First century Corinth had a reputation in other cities, not just today, for being more having easy living, so to speak. Okay, so that's going to make its way into St. Paul's writings. Because remember, this is the church living in that environment. So it's important to know that. And according to St. John Chrysostom, they were low-class wealth people. Okay. Next point here. Liturgical use for 1 Corinthians. It is in the lectionary, you'll see here in the study guide, it is read from the sixth Tuesday after Pentecost through the 10th Sunday on weekdays. On Sundays, from the 8th Sunday after Pentecost through the 13th Sunday. And on Saturdays, from the 11th Saturday through the 19th Saturday. Now, if you have the Orthodox Study Bible, I want you to go toward the back. And go to page... Where is it? Go to page 1767 in the Orthodox Study Bible. Okay? You'll see there what's called lectionary. It shows you the readings of the day for the entire church calendar year. That's what I'm talking about here. When 1 Corinthians is read seasonally in the church. Okay? And when you look at that pattern, it does not match the homilies. And that's how we know these were Bible studies and not sermons done inside the church. Because if there were sermons done inside the church, they would match this lineup of the daily readings. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah? Okay. Finally, the structure and themes of 1 Corinthians. First section, the introduction, is chapter 1, verse 1. Through verse 9. And that covers homilies 1 and 2. And so next week, we'll actually do homily number 1 as it's numbered in the series. Tonight, the homily is called The Argument, not homily number 1. So it's going to be a little confusing, but for the next 44 sessions, so session 2 will be homily 1. Session 20 is homily 19. There's going to be one off as we go through. Because session 1 is the introduction and called the argument, not homily number 1. Homily number 1 will be session 2, which is next week, okay? Second section, response to reports received. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through chapter 6, verse 20. And that's homilies 3 through 18. It's on the study guide. Section number 3. Response to questions asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 through chapter 15, verse 58. Homilies 19 through 42. And then there's the conclusion, which are homilies 43 and 44, which is all of chapter 16. So 45 sessions to complete this series of Bible studies. Each homily is a different session of Bible study. So I've given you online, you'll see a link to all of the homilies so you can print them off and read them in advance. For those of you who come in person, I will always print for you next week's homily. So you don't have to print that on your own printer. I will have those every week waiting for you. So like tonight, I passed out homily number 1 for next week. Next week, I'll pass out homily number 2 for session 3. Any questions before we get to what's called my life application? Any questions at this point? I know it's pretty kind of dry tonight, but it's setting us on our structure. You have a question you want to go ahead. And I'm going to repeat it for everyone at home. That's okay. Just say it. I'll repeat it.
Okay. The homily one
Yeah.
That is in conjunction with this. Is this what you're passing out next week?
So I passed it out tonight to be read for next week. So homily number 1 is next week's study session. Tonight's study session in the series of homilies is called the argument. And that is where St. John Chrysostom lays out why we're studying this. Okay? And that's why I know these are not sermons of his, because they don't match the readings of the day. Okay? So one thing St. John Chrysostom always does, and so far we've only found one time where he doesn't, he has two parts of these homilies. Again, these are Bible studies, but we'll keep calling them homilies. The first part is the traditional chapter verse portion. St. Paul said this, this is what it means, this is how we do. The second portion I call the life application. It's where St. John Chrysostom, inspired by some sentence or sometimes even just a word, the whole second portion is how it can change our life. Because it's very important. It's not good enough just to learn the scriptures. They have to change the way we live. And so week after week, we're going to have the first portion, which I'm calling the textual analysis. These are the verses, this is what they mean. And then the second portion, life application. And in the life application, we're going to be reading more from St. John Chrysostom's own words, sometimes an entire paragraph, to really get a feel of how he wants us to change the way we live. Right? For those of you living at home, that's why it's called Be Transfigured Ministries. That's why our slogan is Live a New Life in Christ. Because everything we learn should lead to a new life. This is something that St. Paul believed a lot in. So to that, let's go ahead and page 2 of the study guide, actually page 3 of the study guide, we call Life Application, Why 1 Corinthians, Why Chrysostom? For you watching at home, I'll put it up on the screen so you can see it. Okay, point number 1. Wealth and success divides people, which is monopolized by the devil. This is in section 2. You see the little bracket number 2? In the argument, go to section 2 and you'll see it there. The devil, therefore, seeing that a great and populous city had laid hold of the truth, a city admired for wealth and wisdom, and the head of Greece, for Athens and Lacedaemon were then and since in a miserable state, the dominion having long ago fallen away from them, and seeing that the great readiness they had received the word of God, what does he do? He divides the men. For he knew that even the strongest kingdom of all, divided against itself, shall not stand. So one of the points that Chrysostom is making here is the reason to study Corinthians is to learn about the destruction of divisiveness, right? And even Christ, before he goes up on the cross, what is he prays for? The unity of the church. And so here, Corinthians is a very fractured community, and Chrysostom is pointing out that the devil's taking advantage of this. So he's fracturing the people as much as possible, dividing them to conquer them, right? And so we're going to benefit, especially in 2020 America. We are more divided than we've been in a long time as Americans. So we'll also be able to benefit spiritually from the wisdom, not only of St. Paul, but of St. John Chrysostom. Point number 2. Division leads to false teachers and false leaders, also in section 2 of the homily. Here's what Chrysostom says. Hence, certain men, having made parties of their own, and having become self-elected, made themselves leaders of the people. And some sided with these, and some with those, one with one sort as being rich, with another as wise and being able to teach something out of the common, who on their part, receiving them, set themselves up forsooth to teach more than the apostles did. And that's a huge no-no, right? We don't teach what the apostles didn't teach. This gets back to my example of the scripture translations. What did St. Paul say? Maintain the traditions you have received. And so Chrysostom is very particular on this, as was St. Paul. We only teach what the apostles taught. And so here's evidence in Corinth in the first century that this division has led to self-proclaimed leaders. What do we have? As of 2015, 43,000 denominations of Christianity. We have division. All teaching something different. So as much has been changed, much remains the same. So we can gain some insight from St. Paul and St. John Chrysostom in the dangers of division. Point number three, which is from section number three. The early church asked about important issues. This is an important one for us, because St. Paul was not just randomly saying stuff. He received questions from the people. And so a big portion of this letter is him clarifying and answering questions. We sometimes think that the scriptures were written in some kind of a vacuum, where St. Paul just sat down and began writing things he wanted to tell the people. But in this case, they asked him some very important questions, which he then answers, and then expands upon them, and then other questions are led from those answers, so he expands there. But we have to remember, they asked these questions in the first place. Okay, so listen to what Chrysostom says here. They had written accordingly to him by the hand of Fortunatus and Stephanus and Achaicus, by whom also he himself writes. And this he has indicated in the end of the epistle. Not, however, upon all these subjects, but about marriage and virginity. Wherefore also he said, now concerning these things, wherefore you wrote, etc. And he proceeds to give injunctions both on the points about which they had written and those about which they had not written, having learnt with accuracy all their failings. So we're going to read this knowing that they ask some of these questions themselves. And point number four. Teachings are reinforced with witnesses such as the church fathers. Chrysostom writes this, Timothy too, he sends with the letters, knowing that letters indeed have great force, yet that not a little would be added to them by the presence of the disciple also. So in other words, one of the things that we as Orthodox hold very dear to us is the Holy Traditions and the what we call the apostolic succession, right? The handing down of the teachings from person to person, from bishop to bishop for 2,000 years. And so when we hear these teachings, they are reinforced by the church fathers. And this is the essence of why I do Bible study the way I do. In Orthodoxy, we don't just read the scriptures and decide for ourselves what it means. We read the scriptures and we are taught what it means by the church fathers, in our case, St. John Chrysostom, who was inspired by St. Paul himself, who himself was a church father, right? And that's why he says, maintain the traditions you have received. So we have the writings of Christ given to the teachings of Christ given to the apostles, who then handed them down generation after generation after generation, and we have received them in the year 2020. But just as St. Paul didn't send just his letter, he sent the saints with the letter to say, yes, this letter is true. We have the church fathers saying, yes, this letter is true. There's a beautiful parallel there between how St. Paul sent the message and how well we're receiving it today. There is a very inspiring traditional icon of St. John Chrysostom where St. Paul is whispering in his ear. And St. John Chrysostom is writing his homilies. St. John Chrysostom had a lot of love for St. Paul. And so what we're going to get week after week after week, we're going to get some St. Paul. We're going to get some St. John Chrysostom from the end of the 300s, so the end of the 4th century. We're going to get a glimpse of what church life was like in the end of the 300s, because every now and then St. John Chrysostom references the contemporary situation. And we're going to take all of that to inspire us on a better life, a more Christian life in the year 2020. So we have a lot of work ahead of us. But the only way that's going to work is if I don't sit here every week doing the only talking. Now, tonight was just a general thing, I get it. But I really want it to be interactive. That's why, for those of you willing to talk, there's microphones in front of you, so people at home can hear your questions. When we get to next week, we're going to be reading some of the verses. And so we want the people at home who can't be here with us, some of them are our own parishioners, but they quite literally come from all over. We saw another person from Ohio. We have, where else do we have somebody from? Last year we had somebody, what was that foreign country they were from last year? Do you remember what it was? Somewhere in Europe. One of the Slavic countries. They'd get on and they were the middle of the night over there and they were online every night, every week with us. Yeah, Cambodia too. That's what I was thinking of. Cambodia. Not, that's not Europe, but that's Cambodia, yeah. So literally from all over the world. So I want to also thank you all. Not only we're back in person, yay! But I want to thank your willingness for me to do this in front of a camera and to have the microphones, because not everybody can be with us every night. And so even if you miss, you can go back and watch it later, or if you're sick, you can watch it from your couch at home on YouTube. But I speak for everyone who is on the computer right now. They thank you, because your participation, people have said this to me before, they felt like they were in the room with us. Because you notice I very rarely look straight at the camera. Every now and then I look at you and point. But they appreciate the fact that there's real people in the room and they feel a part of that. And so on behalf of everyone watching, I don't know how many people are on tonight, but I want to thank you on their behalf as well for allowing me to do this in front of the camera. And I enjoy it. I hope you will enjoy it. Again, if you're new, I hope you're going to enjoy our Bible study series. Are there any questions? Again, tonight was just kind of introductory kind of stuff. So next week, we will start with homily number one. And you'll find information on my website, liveanewlifeinchrist.org. Press the button for Bible study on 1 Corinthians. You will see, it's not there yet, but it will be there, the study guide for next week and the link to the video. And in each study guide will be a link to the homily directly. Now, of course, once you get there, you'll see all the homilies. So if you want to print them off in advance, you can. And then if you come in person, I will have them available for everybody. Okay? Thank you very much for tuning in. My name is Father Athanasios Haros. If you're ever in Tarpon Springs, join us live and in person in Father Tryphon Hall in downtown Tarpon Springs. Until next week, God bless you, and don't forget to live a new life in Christ.
Be Transfigured is a production of Be Transfigured Ministries in cooperation with the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Tarpon Springs, Florida. We depend upon your generosity to maintain our ministry. You can make a safe online donation when you visit our website, liveanewlifeinchrist.org.